Right now, it's time to speak to Rolene Marks. She's an Israel advocate. She's an Israel activist. And she produces a blog called Roro's Rantings. So here's Roro's Rantings. Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good afternoon, Habibi and Chababim. Because just useless information and language lesson, Chababim is the plural of Habibi. So that is my language lesson for you this afternoon.
Thank you. You okay. See. All right. Just don't blog about it. Just don't blog about it. All right. So what's news, Rolene?
Well, I think let's have a look at what's going on in the United States. And yesterday, George Soros, a very, very controversial figure. He's a Holocaust survivor. He is the favorite target of the ultra-right, as well as he's as the government of his own homeland, Hungary, and many conspiracy theorists. He received a pipe bomb at his New York residence, and he wasn't home at the time. But today we have seen several other people, several other very, very high profile people receiving the same kind of threatening devices. We've seen it with former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and now CNN have said that they have had to evacuate their offices in Manhattan because of a suspicious package. Now, should we do the maths and decide who could possibly be responsible for this?
Well, you know what? It kind of smacks of right wingers.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Like, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it must be the alt right.
You know, you've got, I mean, if you've got Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, George Soros, and CNN, wow, could they be targeting Dems? It's a tough call. I just can't see it. You know, I can't see the wood for the trees.
Can I bring you both closer to home?
Yes.
Okay. So, Rolene, please tell us about Netanyahu's address to the General Assembly of USA Federations today, and why is it being reported that he upset so many people?
Well, Bibi Netanyahu and the Americans, one would expect that he would be upsetting many people. And in his speech, he mentioned two things. The one is that he is committed to negotiating with our Palestinian neighbors as long as there is a demilitarized Palestinian state. But perhaps the most controversial statement he made was he spoke about his freezing of the compromised deal to expand the pluralistic or egalitarian prayer platform at the Kotel, the Western Wall. And he blamed the pressure for this on the ultra-Orthodox street, and arguing that religion and state issues in Israel have always been settled with ad hoc compromises and, in his words, slowly evolving arrangements. Now, it is very controversial, and it's actually a factor that has contributed largely to the great chasm that we have between Israel and U.S. Jewry. In fact, some people, in the upper echelons of government and NGOs like the Jewish Agency have referred to it as a crisis. And yesterday we touched on the chairman of the Sochnut, or Jewish Agency for Israel, Isaac Herzog, mentioning that the gap between Israel and diaspora Jewry is an existential threat. Now, he would have angered Americans because, for them, they see him as pandering to the ultra-religious. And this is a criticism he faces internally as well. From the analyst's perspective, from my perspective, if I look at it, I think he's very, very much trying to appease both sides. He wants to – he understands the importance, the size, the value, and the contribution of American Jewry to the state of Israel, and the importance that we do have friends in America. But he's also he has a tendency to, as many here think, give in too easily to the Haredi factions. So he's trying to appease both. So as you can well imagine, this has angered members of his coalition who say that, you know, it's very easy to blame him, and you know, he's forgetting that this is a Jewish state. So a lot of debate and discussion around this, and a very, very controversial, and very, very controversial in that he decided to say it's addressing the closing plenary of the Jewish Federations of North Americans annual General Assembly, and you know, we're still waiting to hear what the Trump administration has for their peace plan. But he says that you know, from time to time, that the status quo is challenged, and you know, we are confronted by the realities of living in Israel.
That's kind of interesting, that peace plan reference, because I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, where the Times of Israel was reporting that Trump was saying, I can get tough on Bibi. And he was indicating that perhaps Netanyahu's commitment to peace wasn't as strong as he is making out.
Well, this wasn't just President Trump who was saying that. His son-in-law, who's his special advisor on Middle East issues, Jared Kushner, also said that, you know, there's a concern that there is a status quo and nobody seems to be moving forward and nobody seems to be willing to make those painful compromises. Now, Israel would argue that from our side, we have had to make extremely painful compromises. Trump saying to the French president, who himself has threatened that unless the American administration puts forward the details of their peace plan by next month, he's going to step in and propose one of his own, and he has instructed his foreign ministry to come up with solutions for the Middle East. But President Trump saying to French President Emmanuel Macron that, you know, don't think that I can't be tough on Bibi as well. Now, we don't know if this is him trying to save face, because he has been accused by the Palestinians and many in Europe as being biased or one-sided when it comes to issues regarding negotiations. He has said, you know, my big compromise was that I recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I moved my embassy, and now I have to give something to the Palestinians. But during his election campaign, he did boast that when he comes up with a deal, it will be the deal of the century. Now we're waiting to see what this deal entails.
Kind of interesting, the, you know, whether one is pro-Netanyahu or not, one almost can't but help feel sorry for him. He's so at home in America and so clearly comfortable there, and yet his right wing is hampering decisions that he may or may not want to make.
Well, this is it, and there's a lot of discussion in Israel. You know, what do we do? We've got elections coming up next year. What do we do? Many Israelis are not satisfied with Netanyahu, especially from a domestic point of view. Many are also concerned that he is veering too far to the right, and perhaps he is a little too overconfident. My thoughts are we have to be very well prepared for the day after President Trump, because the pendulum is going to swing. Same, yes. As much as Trump is the anti-Obama, we are going to have a president coming in that will be the anti-Trump. And I think Bibi understands this. I think he vacillates between everything. And I think that the one thing that is his saving grace is his ability to advocate for Israel on the international stage.
Yeah.
This is extremely important. I mean, many people often, they say, you know, he basically gets voted in on his ability to speak at the United Nations. But it's more than that. He takes a no-nonsense approach to Israel's right to exist, to Israel's security concerns, and that happens to be his stage, and it does play out when we move towards elections here.
Rolene, just before we end, give us a very quick update about the IDF and arrests in respect of the Barkhane terrorism event.
Well, the IDF have arrested more accomplices, and you know, I've spoken to contacts that I've had in the security forces saying, you know, how close are we? And they seem to be very, very calm and say, you know, we will get him. You know, we always get our guy. It's a matter of time. He's well hidden in the areas that they are looking for him in. But we are making inroads by arresting more and more of his accomplices, as well as his various family members as well.
Ro, thanks for your time. As always, interesting. That's where we have to leave it. Speak to you tomorrow.
Same time, same place.